This audio is brought to you by MuslimCentral.com.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. اقرأ باسم ربك الذي خلق خلق الإنسان من علق اقرأ وربك الأكرم الذي علم بالقلم علم الإنسان ما لم يعلم صدق الله العظيم. My dear respected brothers and sisters who are listening, first assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. We're here to speak about and to listen about children and education, youth and education. And in saying that, what I'm going to do is I'm going to take it back to the start of how all of this came about to our Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Now Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam had 23 years of revelation. The Quran was something which was already there from beforehand. The Quran wasn't something which Allah Azza wa Jal planned while Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was living. No. The Quran in its entirety was already there. It just had to be revealed. Now when we read the Quran, we find Surah Fatiha in the beginning, we find Surah Nas at the end. But when Allah Azza wa Jal, He revealed the Quran to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, He revealed it in piecemeal. He revealed it in small segments. Sometimes certain ayats, sometimes a surah, sometimes less than a surah, sometimes a large surah, sometimes a small part of the Quran, sometimes one ayah, sometimes a few ayats together. Like that, over 23 years the entire Quran was revealed. So according to the incident that happened, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He revealed the Quran. But there's a very big wisdom of Allah Azza wa Jalla doing it like that. Later on, of course, as the Quran was being revealed, like this ayah came down, that part of the Quran came down, this part came down, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told by Jibreel alayhi salam that put this ayah over there, put that ayah over here, put this new revelation between these two old revelations. That's how the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was told. And then in this entirety, we got Surah Fatiha again all the way to Qul A'udhu bin Nas. Okay, the Quran in its current form, the way we found it, that's how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam arranged it after revelation. But as it was being revealed according to the incidents that were taking place in Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's time. Now there's a big wisdom in this. The reason is because Allah is teaching us something very, very special. In every revelation that He sent, every single revelation that came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, each revelation had a specific meaning, it had an order, it had a way of building the Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in with the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So, the first revelation which the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam gets is Iqra. It's the beginning of the 96th surah. So surah number 96, beginning 5 verses, Iqra bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq, the verses that I actually recited at the beginning, those verses were revealed. Now, there's still another 6,235 something verses still to be revealed, or 6,230 verses to be revealed. But why did Allah Azza wa Jalla choose these verses for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? Because Makkah, the biggest sin they were doing, the biggest problem they had was shirk. We all know this. There are several ayats that came later on about their shirk, several stories that were related to them, from the story of Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam and the idols that he had to deal with, from the stories of Nuh alayhi salam and the idols he had in his time. You know, you speak about any other prophet, they've got their qawm or their people were worshipping certain idols. Allah Azza wa Jal never revealed any of that at the beginning. Makkah Mukarramah was in a state of serious trouble. It had a lot of different types of things that they were doing which were against humanity. They were even burying their daughters alive. They had crimes which we know that should have been spoken about from day number one. But Allah didn't choose any of that. He didn't choose the ayah in the Quran that talks about those daughters being buried alive. It's in the Quran. Allah could have revealed that. There's two places in the Quran that talks about how they bury their daughters alive, and then they, you know, they move away, and then they have guilt inside them and shame, and what should they do, and so on. There's a few verses like that in the Quran. Two very specific ones that deal with it. Allah never revealed that. Allah never revealed about the shirk, about the things that they were doing wrong. No. Allah Azza wa Jalla, He simply referred to His Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and to the very first Sahaba that would get their verse of the Quran, and the first message is read. The first message is read. The first message has got nothing to do with anyone else outside. It's got to do with you, the person who's found this revelation. Why? Because what Allah taught us is, no matter what is going on around you, no matter how many things you think that are going wrong, no matter how many people are doing things that are wrong, your way of navigating through all of this, your biggest way of navigating through all of these problems and the people around you, is for you to be educated. For you to yourself to read, to open your eyes, and to widen your scope. There's a big message here. Guys, I want you to understand, we've got a lot of problems. Everyone's got problems around them, okay? We've got problems in our society, we've got problems within our families, we've got problems maybe with your wife, with your husband, whatever. You've got problems, okay? You've got problems with your children. Specifically today, we're going to talk about children and education. You've got problems with that. But in the midst of all of that, the first thing is for you to read. How much have you aligned yourself to be able to navigate through these problems? Do you know it all? Are you in a position to know it all? Are you in a position that, you know, you're above everyone else? How do you know that? If you don't read and if you don't broaden your scope, you won't have the best chance of being the one who sees the best route out of all of this. So Allah Azza wa Jalla, His first revelation to the Prophet is Iqra, read. And our message from this revelation, this particular ayah being picked up to us, is we have to educate ourselves, we have to read. And when I say read, there's a difference between read and difference between speaking. Now look, we've got a few things here. If you want to communicate with somebody else, or if you want to, you know, you're in a situation where Rasulullah, he's in a place where he's been thinking about how to sort the problems out in Makkah. He's been sitting in this cave for a good sort of 6 months. He's been coming in and out. He's been alone in this cave. He's been thinking about the problems of Makkah. He's been wanting to sort it out. And Allah Azza wa Jalla tells him, Iqra. He sent Jibreel alayhi salam and he says, Iqra. There's now, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam hasn't even started giving da'wah yet. Allah didn't tell the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam to give da'wah. He didn't tell him straight away, Qum fa'anzir. Stand up, rise, fa'anzir, and deliver the warning to these people. Allah could have made that the first verse, but He didn't do that. Allah could have said the first verse is, Ya ayyuhan nas, tell these people, oh people, wa'budu rabbakum, worship your Lord, because that's something which, you know, needs to be done. Allah doesn't talk about even worship. He doesn't talk about rulings. There's no ahkam. There's nothing whatsoever about rulings of do's and don'ts. None of that. Allah just says, read. Bismi rabbika alladhi khalaq. Read in the name of your sustainer who has created. Now there's a lot in this. There's a lot of meaning in this, and I want to unfold it piece by piece. So what it's telling us is, before you start looking at your problems, look at yourself. And Rasulullah could have easily given da'wah. He could have easily spoken and told them not to do this or to do this. No, Allah said, no, this is not the time to speak. Speaking is one form, one way of trying to sort the problem out. Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying, right now, speaking is not what you need to do. Second way, what we know is to write something, okay? Of course, Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam wasn't a person who could write, but Allah Azza wa Jalla, he could have told the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam to get someone to write something, and like the Jahili Arabs, they had poetry in their time. The poetry could have been used in a way to try and address the people of the Arabs, but that wasn't the means that Allah Azza wa Jalla used. So today, I want you to understand. Right now, as we're living in this day and age, there's a hadith of Bukhari that talks about our day and age. There's a lot of ahadith that when you look at them, you think, wow, this is our day and age. Our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said a hadith, and that hadith has been transmitted by Bukhari. And that hadith says, يَظْهَرُ الْقَلَمُ, the pen will become mighty. But at the same time, يَكْثُرُ الْجَهْلُ, or the ignorance will become prevalent. Which means there's going to be a lot of writing. At the same time, there's a lot of ignorance. Today, if you look at how much writing there is, how much information, it's an age of information. There's so much writing. Writing, I mean, we're talking about 10, 20 years ago, a lot of writing on paper. Now the paper writing has come to, you know, has started to fall down. But we've got so much writing on the internet. You go, you know, you want anything, you just go to your phone, you just go to your tablet, go to your computer, and you've got so much writing. Writing is one way of communicating and trying to, you know, sort out problems. Speaking is another one. Allah Azza wa Jalla didn't say any of that. He said, read. Why? Because reading is where I put myself as a student. Okay? When you write or when you speak, you put yourself on a pedestal. You put yourself on a high platform. When you read yourself, you're the student. And you need a teacher. So Allah says, first you need to become the student. If you want to sort out problems, especially when we're thinking about our children and their future and so on and so forth, we seriously have to up our level of education. Think about it. All these ahkam, shirk, and you know, the haram of shirk, and the haram of burying their daughters alive, and the gambling they used to do, the alcohol they used to drink, and all the things that the immoral behaviors they had, none of that was addressed. The first thing is, you, O Prophet, and all the Sahaba who are getting this revelation, read. The next thing says, Bismi Rabbika alladhi khalaq. You're not only going to read, but you're going to read and connect yourself up with the one who has created you. Now there's another whole perspective here, which is Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us, we're not only going to read, but we're going to read something which is from the Rabb, so it shows that it's something which is on the religious side. And not only that, it's got to become something which joins the makhluk with the khaliq. It joins the creation with the creator. Very specifically, Allah used the words khalaq. Khalaq al-insana min alaq. Allah created this from a clot. Why is Allah saying that in the first revelation? Because the whole point of this religion is, and I'm going to sum, the whole point of the Quran is, and many mufassirs have said this, the whole point of the Quran is that you as the creation connect up with the creator. That's the whole point of the entire Quran. Not that we don't care about other human beings, yes, we care about other human beings, but me as the person who has found this revelation, I need to make my own good connection with my Khaliq, with my creator. And then Allah Azza wa Jalla says, خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانَ مِنْ عَلَقٍ. And then Allah says, what's the next verse? اِقْرَأْ وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. Keep reading. See, this says second time comes, اِقْرَأْ. And you think, why did Allah say اِقْرَأْ? It's two times now. Because reading is something that does take effort. Reading takes effort. And reading is something that you can stop doing. So Allah Azza wa Jalla says, اِقْرَأْ. Keep reading. وَرَبُّكَ الْأَكْرَمُ. Your Lord, your sustainer, is going to be most generous. And he's عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ مَا لَمْ يَعْلَمُ. He's going to teach you something which the human, something which he doesn't know. Now, straight away Allah has used the word عَلَّمَ, which means Allah is now the teacher. عَلَّمَ means Allah is going to teach. عَلَّمَ الْإِنسَانَ, he's going to teach the human being. So what I do with myself is, when I've got the Qur'an, I've got to now read the Qur'an, and I've got to become the student, and I've got to allow Allah Azza wa Jalla to become my teacher. Now we know that for us, for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, even for Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Allah didn't teach him directly, he sent Jibreel alayhi salatu wasalam. For us, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes that medium. And anyone under the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, of those who have learned this tradition properly, who have learned the Quran properly, who have learned the Sunnah properly, they will teach us as people who have learned this entire, you know, who know the ins and outs of this revelation. Anyway, what this shows is I've got to humble myself and now seek for guidance from Allah Azza wa Jalla, who's going to teach me. Now, what is He teaching? One of the things we understand in another part of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla, He says, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. In the beginning of Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah says, Ar-Rahman, عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. Allah is the most merciful, He's going to teach the Quran. عَلَّمَ الْقُرْآنِ. خَلَقَ الْإِنسَانِ عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. Here Allah says, look, I've created the human being. Over there Allah says, look, read, because you're going to attach yourself to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Between that revelation and this revelation, some other revelations came. And those revelations were from Surah Muzzammil, for the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam to stand up in the night and to offer his praise to Allah Azza wa Jalla in tahajjud. Another revelation came, where Allah Azza wa Jalla told him to give the warning to his people. But there's a very interesting thing here. Here Allah Azza wa Jalla in Surah Ar-Rahman, Surah number 55, what He says is, He tells us that He's going to teach, He says, عَلَّمَهُ الْبَيَانِ. He's going to teach the human being how to be articulate, how to use his speech, but to use his speech in a balanced way. There's a lot in Surah Ar-Rahman in the beginning where Allah Azza wa Jalla, 3 times He mentions the word mizan. Mizan. Mizan is a balance. Mizan are scales. Mizan is when you've got 2 sides of the scale balanced. What Allah Azza wa Jalla is saying is that you're going to learn and I'm going to teach you, but you, O human being, you have to keep the balance right. In all the things that I'm telling you to do, you've got to keep the balance right. And this is the main point of the reminder today. That Allah Azza wa Jalla is teaching us through the Quran, He's given us information, but many of us who are Muslims, who have received this revelation, who have received this whole Quran, we have got an imbalance within ourselves. We as human beings have to find the right balance. So mizan is a word used in the beginning of Surah Rahman, and what Allah is saying, He said, Allah taqghaw fil mizan. Don't exceed the limits in the balance. Now we know how a balance works, right? The balance, let's say for example, you've got a pair of scales in your hands, okay? So let's just say this is the right hand of the right part of the scales and this is the left part of the scales. If you've got 50 grams of weight on this side, okay, 50 grams of a weight on this side, and you've got, say, let's say for example, you've got a bit of wheat that is exactly 50 grams on this side, it's going to be exactly in the middle. Am I right, yes or no?
Yes.
About 10 of you are saying yes. Guys, come on. Am I right, yes or no?
Yes.
Unless your scales are, you're dodgy. Right? Now, if you put 50 grams of weight on this side, but your wheat now becomes 60 grams of weight, then what's going to happen is that because this one's heavy, it's going to go down a bit, and this one's going to go slightly up a bit. Right? And we know how it works, right? You put too much weight, this side could go all the way down. You put too less weight, then this side will start going down. And thus we know how the balance works. What is Allah trying to tell us? Allah Azza wa Jalla is telling us that since the revelation came, the revelation is a manual. It's a manual. What does a manual mean? A manual means that it's only description. It's giving you information. But with the manual, you also need someone to train you how to do it. So for example, you're going to become a plumber. You're going to become a plumber. You're going to do a course in plumbing. So you go and learn plumbing. First they tell you, okay, this is a pipe, this is soldering, this is blah, 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 blah. This is how you put two pipes together, blah, blah, blah. But they're not going to stop there. They're going to take you to the real workshop. They're going to take you under another plumber. And that plumber will show you exactly those two pipes in the drawing that you had, in the manual that you had. He's going to show you how those two pipes are joined together. And he's going to show you how it's done. Now, when the guy shows you, your teacher, the plumber shows you how to do it, he's going to do quite good, in a really good way. Yes or no, guys? Yeah, because he's done it for so many years. Now, when you do it, what's going to happen? When you do it first time, second time, what's going to happen? Are you going to make these mistakes, yes or no? Come on.
Yes,
you're going to make mistakes. But then as you go along, you have to balance your knowledge or everything with what the teacher is doing. When you get it perfectly right, just like your teacher did it, then you're someone, mashallah, alhamdulillah, you've got the balance right now. Are you guys with me?
Yes.
First in the beginning, your teacher was showing you something, and then you got it slightly wrong, the balance is wrong. He showed you again, you got it slightly right, your balance is about there. Then he showed you again, and you did it a few times, and you got it perfectly well. Now your balance is right in that plumbing, you know, section. Now he's going to show you another one. He's going to show you something to do with the boiler. With the boiler, you've got one boiler. He shows you again, you read the manual, you come to it, you do the work, same thing happens. You've got to carry on doing it under him until you get the balance right. And that was okay. That was just one boiler. It was some Bosch boiler, yeah? But you've got another Bosch boiler, you got another Worcester boiler, this one, that one, that one, that one. And now you've got to learn all the different ones. You've got to find your balance in each single area. That's just boilers. Then you've got to do radiators. Then you've got to do all sorts of, you know, drains and all sorts of other things, okay? You got the point. The point is, in every single section, as your teacher is taking you through this, you've got the manual on the one hand, you need the teacher on the other hand, but you need to get your own balance right as you learn. Has everyone understood what I'm trying to convey to you?
Yes.
Now let me bring this to my actual message. Allah gave the manual as the Quran. Allah gave the manual, the book, or the description is the Quran. Allah sent the teacher, the human teacher, as Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, his life, his actions are perfectly in harmony with the manual, the Quran. Has everybody understood that? Everything the Prophet ﷺ does, in every way he does it, if you want to know the exact balance, if you want to get it 100% right, if you want to get the Quran 100% right, you have to look at Rasulullah's actions and his behavior and his speech. And that's why we say Quran and Sunnah. We say not only Quran but the Sunnah as well. Because if it wasn't for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we'd never know how a human should perfectly demonstrate that Quran. Has everybody understood?
Yes.
Guys, I need your thing. Has everyone understood?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
Now the third problem is this. The real problem is this. So the manual is perfect. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is perfect. There's no problem in the Quran. There's no problem in the teacher. Our direct teacher is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The main teacher of teachers, obviously, is Allah. But through Jibreel to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, now for us, the one who we see is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam through the hadith. The problem is me. Because when I try to do the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when I try to act upon the Quran, my balance is going to be a little bit wrong. Are you guys with me?
Yes,
or no?
Yes, yes.
When I say me, I don't just mean me. I mean everybody here is me. You guys understand? Every person who's trying to do the who's trying to practice the Quran Sunnah, you're going to have an imperfectness because you're trying to adjust yourself and get to the balance. Now, who's your immediate teacher? It's the ulama. It's the people who have inherited this from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. They're humans, you know. But amongst them, there are those who have done their best to try and get themselves to practice the Sunnah, to practice the Quran, and there's this been this check from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam time till today. Now we're not going to say to you that all ulama, all scholars are absolutely perfect. We're not going to say that. Ulama themselves, those who've gone through the Dars-e Nizami, those who've learned this whole tradition, Quran, Sunnah, become an alim, they also need to get the balance right. Because those ulama, young ulama, need to look at senior ulama and get their perfect balance. And sometimes the balance is almost right. It just needs a little bit of a tweak to get it right. Just a little bit of a tweak to get it right. Are you with me, yes or no, guys?
Yes.
Sometimes you don't like it driving, yeah? And you're perfectly going the perfect road. And you just take your hands off the steering wheel and see how it goes. And slowly moves to the left, slowly to the left. You need to balance your tires. Depending on how bad it is, you get into balancing. Now, even if you've got a really good car, sometimes it can happen a little bit. Ulama, who are young ulama, those who are learning, teachers and so on, they need to look at their senior ulama and get the balancing right. For the common people, they have to learn under the ulama, under those who've gone through this tradition, and try and get the balance right. And children, guys, children, listen to me now. You guys are born in a world, you didn't choose your parents. You didn't get to say, yeah, I want that one as my daddy, I want that one as a mommy. You have no choice. When you come to this earth, you have no choice. Your dad could be there, you could have been born to a brilliant, scientific-minded dad. Or you could have been born to some Dad, that you think, Dad, I don't know how you passed your school exams. I don't know, Dad. I don't know what's happening. Like, you know, you could have either. You could be born to a mother that has a heart like, you know, some golden trophy that you would want to give to some chalice. Or you could have a mom that has a heart that is hard inside. There are moms like that, have a hard heart inside. You have all sorts of imbalances within parents. I understand that, like kids, I want you to understand, we do not disrespect our parents. But as you grow older, you have to get your own balance right, but you'll start seeing how and where your own parents were slightly imbalanced, where some of your teachers might be slightly imbalanced. And there's a reason why I'm saying this to you. Young children, listen to me. And even some of you who've grown up with some ustads that, you know, your ears still hurting from those days. You know what I'm trying to say, like, yeah? So some of you now, it might make sense. Look, when you see some teacher or some parent not living up to what Islam said, sometimes you find this, sometimes you find parents, sometimes you find your mom or your dad or older brother or someone or a teacher that didn't really live to the Quran what it said, or didn't live according to the sunnah of what Rasulullah ﷺ left behind. Should you blame the religion? Because if you're blaming the religion, you're blaming the manual. You're blaming Rasulullah ﷺ. Now, as I said to you, is the manual perfect or not perfect? Tell me which one.
Perfect.
Come on, let's hear it loud. Is the manual perfect?
Perfect.
Is Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam perfect?
Yes.
That's what your religion is. Okay? If your ustad did something wrong, if your dad did something wrong, your mom did, your older sibling, someone did something wrong, they are in question with their balancing. It's not the religion. Most young people who hate religion, who grow up with some kind of anxiety towards religion, some even leave the religion. So one of these students asks a question, not verbally, but they had to write their questions and pass it on to the front. So Mullah Hussein Ahmad Madani, he got the question and he read it out. He read the question out. And the question, it wasn't a question, it was actually a comment about Mullah Hussein Ahmad Madani, who's the teacher. He's the teacher. From one of his students here, this thing came in his lesson. And I don't know what people would do in this day and age if you read this thing. I'm going to read it out for you. Alright? I'm about to read this out for you guys. It said that, he said, Mawlana Hussein Ahmad, he is worse than the tail of a dog. He's worse than the tail of a dog. Now we know dog has najasa in Islam, and the tail of that. How bad it is to describe. Obviously, this student is not someone who likes him. Students come from outside somewhere, just studying there, just to get his graduation. But he's not really, you know, he's not really giving any respect to Mullah Hussein Ahmad. Now you can imagine if that was anybody else, what the reaction would be. Let's find out who's writing this is, huh? Let's analyze it. Let's get every student to show the writing to match this, and we're gonna kick that student out. Mullah Hussein Ahmad never did that. You know what he did? He said, Hussein Ahmad Qiyamat Kadin. He said, he addressed himself as Hussein Ahmad. He said, on the day of judgment, if Hussein Ahmad ends up in hellfire, then this is not only true, but I'm going to say to you that Hussein Ahmad in that case is worse than the tail of a dog. Because the dog will be turned to dust on the day of judgment, but Hussein Ahmad will be in hellfire. So therefore Hussein Ahmad is worse than the dog and its tail. But if Hussein Ahmad goes to Jannah on the day of judgment, then Hussein Ahmad will be better than the dog and its tail, and the tail of the dog. That's it. He closed it, left it aside, and carried on. Now look at the hikmah, look at the wisdom, look at the balance, look at the, there's no judgmental, in a way. I'm telling you, look, when these youngsters come to us with their problems, they need to know something. We've got to have our own balance in check. If you've got our own balance in check, like I'm asking you youngsters, go to ulama, go to those who are broad-minded, who are not judgmental. Go and ask them your question. And if you've got something inside you that actually says that, you know what, I don't think this is right in Islam. Guess what? You're not alone. The Sahaba had questions like that. If you have doubts, and if you have something that comes and tells you again and again, you know, there's something wrong. Either it might be about Allah, it might be about the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it might be about the Quran, it might be, you know, waswasa comes like this, it might be about that. And if you get that, you know what, go and find a teacher or someone who's not judgmental and go and put it in front of them, someone who knows. Now either he's going to give you the answer or he'll direct you to someone who's going to give you the answer, inshallah. Now in terms of this whole balance thing, what do I want to say to you next? This is another whole important part of this. Remember I gave you the example of the plumber. Guys, you remember?
Yes.
The plumber, first you read the manual, then you went to the two pipes, you put the two pipes together. That was just the beginning. Then you had to learn how to bend the pipes and whatnot. Then you got to the boilers, you had to learn, and then the different boilers. Then you had to go and learn about some other, you know, parts of drains and some other things from and it could be anything to do with what plumbers actually do. The same thing happens with Islam. Islam, we all say we're Muslims. But did I ever check whether my own salah is in balance? My own kalam, my speech is in balance? With the manual, which is the Quran. Have I ever checked that? Have I ever checked my akhlaq, my behavior? Have I ever checked my reaction to certain situations that happen that are very stressful situations? Have I ever checked whether I've got the balance right? Just like the plumber has to check each and everything with his piping and his boilers and with, you know, washing machines and other stuff that he has to go through and check how he can do all these things, just like he's going through all of that, I as a Muslim have to get my balance right. And the reason why I'm putting all of this in front of you is, my youngsters, listen to me. You're born to your parents. Your parents are wonderful people. You must respect them. Despite their mistakes, you still have to respect them. We have a wonderful religion that tells us, even if your elders are wrong, you still have to respect them. Why? Because it keeps us in a society that doesn't have anarchy. It keeps us in a society that has got regulation. We're able to function properly. You must respect your parents, you must respect your teachers, yes. However, amongst your parents, sometimes what you realize is, they preferred culture over religion. It happens. Sometimes they have a cultural part of them which has got nothing to do with religion, but then they say that this is something that we must do as Muslims. And you have a confusion in your head. And you're like, well, why should I do that for? I mean, is that Islamic? Go and show me where that is as Islamic. And you know, straight away, you're made to shut up. Sometimes the behavior and the actions of your parents within themselves, your mom is arguing with your dad is arguing with your mom. They're bickering with each other. You hear certain words. You think, well, hang on a minute. I've been told off all my life not to say those words. I've been told all my life not to speak like that or not to lie or not to do this. How come my parent is doing this when they're having their own argument? It causes you to feel, whoa, what's up? You know what went wrong there? It's their balancing that is wrong. Don't blame Islam. It doesn't take away the fact that you as a Muslim still have to get your own balancing right as a child. Kids, have you got that? Do you understand what I'm trying to say to you? You're still responsible for your behavior even though your parents got their behavior wrong according to the Quran. When you go to your grave, you're going to go alone to your grave. You're still, as you grow up, even if your parents haven't learned the Quran properly, you're someone who has to learn, you have to learn your Quran properly. And when I say learn your Quran properly, one of the things I said to you that, look, either people don't even know the manual. A lot of the people don't even know the manual. What do I mean by that? It's very unfortunate that our own societies, especially, you know, us growing in Muslim households, we think that reading the Quran is enough for the reward and we don't go beyond that. It's very unfortunate. My brothers, and my sisters that are listening, I want to tell you that the Quran, Allah has revealed it, liyadabbaru ayati, so that its verses can be contemplated over. Allah says liyadakkaru, so that we can draw some lessons from the Quran. Allah Azza wa Jalla has said to us, He's revealed the Quran, liqawmin ya'lamun, for a people who understand, who actually know what the Quran is, liqawmin ya'qilun, for a people who deeply understand the Quran. That's what the Quran came for. Now, if I'm a Muslim, and I don't even read the Quran from cover to cover, even in its meaning, I haven't understood the meaning. And to understand how Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam practically demonstrated the Quran, you have to go through the seerah. These two things are really important. The Quran, its meaning, that's the manual. And Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam's seerah, you get the balance perfectly right. And now you can start getting your own balancing right. If you haven't read the Quran, if you don't know what the manual says, if you haven't studied the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then there itself, you've missed the whole goal. And your parents, look, kids, understand this. Your parents have probably never done this. Your parents went to maktabs or they went to madrasas when they were young. They just taught them how to do namaz, how to do salah, and a bit of Quran reading. And you know, these things are holy, like the La ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah is holy, Arabic is holy, you know, tasbih or something, you know, respect these things, and that's it. You have to educate yourself beyond what you're getting. You have to navigate through all of this beyond what you're seeing. And how do you do that? Look, I need to first understand that I'm going to come in front of Allah Azza wa Jalla and I am going to be questioned myself. My parents are going to be questioned separately. My teachers are going to be questioned separately. My community people are going to be questioned separately. I have my own questioning to be done. Maulana Fadhl Rahim Sahib, he taught us this one wonderful thing in one of our first lessons, I remember. One of our first lessons we did in the rulings of Islam. He said, everything you do, everything you need to know, and it's a wonderful thing he taught us. He said, Rahimullah, may Allah have mercy on him, say amen. Wonderful teacher, wow, absolutely wonderful teacher. He said, everything a human does on this earth is to get, in Arabic they say ma lahu, and to stay away from ma alayhi. Everything a person does on this earth, every human's actions, everything they want to achieve or do, it's because they want to get some benefit from them for themselves. Any kind of benefit. I'm not talking about the benefit that the government gives. You know what I'm trying to say? I'm saying any benefit, any form of good benefit, anything that's good, they want to receive it for themselves and they want to save themselves from things that are going to be harmful to them. That's ma lahu wa ma alayhi. If you understand that, you understand a lot about the Sharia. You understand a lot about the Islamic way of life. Why? Because the whole of Islam and the ahkam and the rulings of Islam is for every human being to get maximum benefit of what will benefit them in this world and in the akhirah. And everything in the Sharia that's told us, don't do this, don't do that, is because it's going to be harmful for us in this world and in the next world. And that's why we're studying all of this. We're going to try and get the best of what's good for me. Now guys, look, you wake up in the morning, why do you brush your teeth? Why do you brush your teeth? Go on, tell me. Why do you brush your teeth?
Hygiene.
Sorry?
Hygiene.
Hygiene. But why do you actually brush your teeth? Let's say some kid go up and said, I don't want to brush my teeth, man. Every morning you brush your teeth with Why do I have to brush my teeth? Like, they tell me twice a day, once a day, whatever. I'm going to go without brushing my teeth for 5 days in a row, 6 days in a row, 7 days in a row. Yeah! By the time he says, yeah, half the people in this hall are going to die because of regret. You know what happens when you don't brush your teeth for 5 days in a row, 6 days in a row. You're not going to be able to smell, you know, keep up with your own bad breath. Not only that, you're going to get cavity, you're going to get plugs, you're going to get, you know, your teeth, they're going to feel rotten, you're going to feel like, oh my God, my teeth are hurting. That's why you brush your teeth. Now, why do you brush your teeth? Not only just hygiene, you know that it's going to benefit you. It's going to benefit me. And it's going to save me from all the troubles I'm going to get in my teeth if I don't brush my teeth. That's just a very basic thing. You think about it. Every other move you make, why do you invest money? Why? Why are you trying to make money?
Because it's going to benefit you. If a human understands the world of what will benefit them and what's important to them, they will do those things and they will try their best to achieve those things. But if a human being doesn't see those things, they won't do it. They just won't do it. So for example, look, right now, a lot is being said. A lot around is being said around the world about environment, you know, the environmental crisis that we've got. A lot being said about that. Because that information is around, a lot of people are trying to do something towards, you know, protecting their planet. 30 years ago, that wasn't the case. Humans won't do certain things if they don't feel that it's important for them. If you actually feel that water is going, there's been a rainfall in this country has been less this year. If the government says there is a case of a drought coming to the UK, which already they're saying for this year, they're saying that in parts of Britain, they're already sending certain signals out that there could be a drought. When they turn to us and they say, seriously, watch how much water you use, otherwise we're going to be left without water, we're going to try and use less water. Is that correct or not? Yes? Forget that. Let me give you a better example. Now that the gas prices and electric prices have gone up, have you noticed the people in your house have been a little bit more careful with which light is on and which light is off? Yes or no, guys? All those who said yes are the people who are paying the bills in the house. The rest of you sitting here that never spoke out, yeah, you don't know about this because you don't pay the bills. See, it doesn't hurt you. If it hurts you, you care about it. You're going to switch it all off. You know, the little thing that's on the, why do we need that light on in the kitchen when no one's in the kitchen? It hurts you because you're paying the bills, bro. It hurts you, yes or no? I'm talking from experience, bro. Because, you know, you've got double the price of electric, right? Double the price of gas. It's going to hurt you right now because it's coming out of your pocket. Now, it hurts you. Why? Because they gave you the information. You know the gas companies have called you, electric company has called you, or they gave you a letter. You saw those digits down there. You saw how big the digits are, and it's coming out of your bank balance, and it's hurting you. Now, guys, please, let's stop here for a moment. Let's think. I've got, just like the electricity bank balance or the, you've got the gas, you know, company that's giving you certain digits. We've got digits going all the time up and down in the Akhirah. Everything I'm doing, something is happening in the Akhirah. Either my reward is going up and the balance is going high, or my reward is being reduced and the balance is going low. I'm losing out. One of the things that Maulana Fadhlin Sahib taught us is, he taught us in that lesson, I remember. He said, when the human can feel that the Akhirah and the benefits of the Akhirah and the harms of the Akhirah are much more greater than the harms in this world and the benefits in this world, then you seriously want to learn what the Sharia is saying, because you're creating yourself a massive problem in the Akhirah if you don't know what you're doing. Imagine someone didn't even know that their electricity bill is going to go high. Like, I'll give you an example of what happened. I don't think it happens now. It used to happen quite a lot before. You know, these mobile phones, people used to take them abroad. And then your roaming service is on. Yeah? Guys, you know what I'm talking about, yeah? Yes. You take the mobile phone abroad, the roaming service is on. You start talking, you know, Daniel Lahore one day, Karachi one day, but you're in the middle of Europe somewhere, yeah? Baji, how are you? You okay? Ha, sadda galla tikka, all that kind of stuff, right? Everything good? You got, you know, good 30 minutes here, 20 minutes there. You come back to the UK, and some people found they got thousands of pounds of a bill when they came back. Because the company said, the rule was, when you're abroad and you use your own roaming, we're going to charge you this much price. You never knew that. You came back sweating, how am I going to pay all these thousands of pounds? And you came back sweating. Then people realized, and people started to switch off the roaming when they went abroad. Yes or no, guys?
Yes.
If you still haven't done it, man, I don't know what you're doing. So now you imagine somebody gets to the Akhirah, you never knew certain things that happened. For example, I'll give you a little example. Somebody backbites. Backbiting is talking behind someone's back about saying something that they wouldn't like. You're in a gathering, backbiting is happening, you're there, you're silent. You never said anything. You're just silent. They're backbiting. They're backbiting in the crowd you're in the circle you're in, they're backbiting. You were silent. You never said a word, but you listened. You never walked away, and you never told them to stop. Do you know you're sinful? The Sharia says this. You are sinful. They get the equal reward, the equal amount of sin, and you get the equal amount of sin as well. Just like them. Why? Because you participated. How? As a silent listener. If there's a crime in front of you happening, and you don't say anything about it, nor do you stop them in a situation where you could have stopped them. So we're talking about a situation where you could have stopped them. You could have done something about it. You never walked away, you never said anything, but you're part of it, watching them, then you're part of them. Do you know that the camel of Salih alayhi salatu salam, the camel, was not killed by the entire nation. It was killed by a few people. Few people killed it. One man, he went ahead and he slit the camel's leg, another man jumped in, another one jumped in, another one jumped in, and a few of them, between them, they slit the camel, enough, so much blood came out and dropped down that the camel actually died. But the entire nation got punished. Why? Because they all stood there and they watched it. They watched it. Now, if you don't know the Sharia, you might be doing something wrong right now. What's going to happen in the Akhirah? And think about it, zakat. That, what is it with our people? Why is it that I'm just going to, okay, every year comes, I just do the normal, I just work it out how I know what the zakah is. Have you ever gone to a scholar? Have you ever gone to a course of zakah? Have you ever gone to someone and said, listen, I want to know, because ma lahu wa ma alay, I don't want to end up on the Day of Judgment with a snake that comes from my feet, wrapped around my legs, around my hips, comes all the way to me, to my face, wraps me, my entire body, and then looks me in the face and says, ana maluk, ana kanzuk. So I'm your wealth. I'm the hoarded wealth you had, which you never paid zakat upon. If you don't get your calculation of zakat right, you know, you've got a lot of things these days. You've got stocks, you've got these coins, my friends, many coins that are out there. You've got to find out, first, what is halal to invest, what is not halal to invest. Second thing is, if you've got those stocks, you've got many other things, like for example, you've got gold, you've got this, you've got land, you've got produce. Like, I'll tell you another one. A lot of our uncles never knew. I had to tell my dad this. And you know, they've got so much land in Bangladesh, and then they grow rice on those lands. And then from those, there's so much rice that they grow that they eat some of it, and then they're selling a lot of it. Right? They're selling quite a lot of, you know, what they call dam. They're selling this rice out, yeah? There's zakat on that. On the part that they're selling, they're making profit. If they're above a certain threshold, they have to pay zakat on it. Am I saying something wrong? Somebody correct me. Mufti Sahib, say something wrong in that? No? I have to be careful as well, man. I'm in the north here, I'm in some Sharif place, you know what I'm saying? If you're above a certain threshold and you're now selling the products as a business, you're making money from it, there's going to be zakat on it. And you better know the rulings of it. My point is this, whether it's this ruling or that ruling, do I know my own religion properly? And if I don't know, why haven't I gone to the scholars or to the imams to learn about this? Now, if you as a community thinking, Ya Allah, what in the world is true? There are certain things that we don't know. MashaAllah, I've made it very easy for you. You've got Mawlana Muhim here as the imam. You know, instead of listening to all these khutbas about this and that, you can have some khutbas on all these ahkams and these rulings. And I've made your life a little bit difficult, Mawlana Muhim, but you know, you can ask your imam to have certain topics in the year on some of these rulings which people don't know about. And before the Jummah khutbah, you can educate the people about these things. Or even if it's too much to cover in Jummah, you can have a specific time. Let's say once a month, twice a month, we need to go through this ahkam, these rulings, and let people know. Whatever it is, it could be anything. There are certain things that we are doing, we don't even realize that we're doing it wrong. But what about things that we're doing right as well? Subhanallah al-Azim, to know the, like for example, I'll give you an example. People don't know about this, but they're getting reward for this, they don't even know they're getting reward for this. You know the shopping that you do every single week for your family? Yes, guys?
Yes.
Two guys doing shopping in over there. When it's not the first plan is to go shopping for the family. You know the shopping that you guys do for your family every week, yes?
Yes.
Every family member, breadwinner, head of the family, who himself earned his salary, took that money, went and did some shopping, doesn't matter where you went to the shopping, bought that those items in the house, you're feeding yourself and the family. The fact that you are completing your responsibility, you have now got the reward of sadaqah and charity. That doesn't mean you stop giving your sadaqah on Fridays. Okay, you know, my main sadaqah de de, you got it. I gave it home. You got the reward of sadaqah. A lot of people don't know this. I tell another one. You guys going for to college and university. You guys think that, oh, I'm not learning anything religious. And you go to the you go to college, you go to university, you spend about 6 years there, 2 years college, 4 years university. After that you get your degree, you kind of think, oh, that guy, he went to this religious course and that course and that course. Guys, if you don't know your religion, you're going to feel like this. If you had the intention of learning this certain profession to benefit humankind, to benefit people, you're getting reward for that. You're getting reward for all those lessons that you went through. A lot of people don't know this. You're doing simple things, you're getting reward for it, you don't even know. I tell another one you get reward for. You don't even know this. This is something beautiful. When you come across this hadith, you think, man, there's a hadith in Nasa'i that says, the Prophet says, he says, I guarantee the middle path of Jannah, aw kama qala alayhi salatu wasalam. A very, very lush, basically a lush portion of Jannah, a very good place of Jannah. I guarantee it for that person who was in the right in an argument. So they're having, he's having an argument with someone. He's in the right in the argument, but he gives that up for the sake of peace. For the sake of peace. You know, sometimes it happens to you, subhanAllah, you don't know your religion. I tell you another one. People don't know these things. That's why people get into so much frustration. You're in a situation where your right was taken away from you. Your right was taken away from you. And it could even happen. Look, let me just explain this to you. Sometimes it happens in awkward ways. Your right was taken away from you because of how this other person put their case in front of the judge. Sometimes it happens that you lost your land. And it was because of that person, how he spoke. Now sometimes, look, even the most religious person, even the most balanced judge, sometimes because they're doing their best with what they've heard, they can sometimes make a mistake in their judgment. It's not that they did anything wrong themselves. It's the case that they heard. Let me give you an example. There's a hadith in Bukhari. Two men came to the Prophet ﷺ. Both men claimed the same piece of land. It's a hadith in Bukhari, it's a sahih hadith. This is who else? This is the best individual ever to live on this earth. The most perfect person. Rasulullah ﷺ himself, he's the judge. These two people come. Both claim the same land. The Prophet ﷺ listens to person A. Then he listens to person B. Then he listens to person A and then B and then A and B and listens to this argument. One of them, the hadith says, Kana Alhan. He was very, very eloquent in his speech, in how he presented his argument. He was so well, he spoke so well, and he was pitched against somebody else, the man who couldn't speak that well. Who couldn't, you know, like sometimes you fumble, you know you're right, you fumble, you don't get the words right, you don't know how to counteract the other person's arguments, and you don't know how to present your arguments in a coherent way, and you kind of seem like, you know, you're not all there, but the other person presented his argument wonderfully, and he said all the right things, And the Prophet ﷺ listened and listened and listened. And in the end, he said, the person who spoke so well and gave his, you know, all his arguments, all his dalail and all his evidence for this land properly, he said, it's your land. And both of them started to walk off. And Jibreel alayhi salam came. And he said to the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam something. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam then said a hadith as well. He said, I am just making a judgment here. Innama aqdi. I'm making a judgment here. And I'm going to make the judgment nahwa ma asma' minkum. He said, I'm going to make the judgment based upon what I've heard from you. But if one of you has taken the wrong piece of land, wrong thing that is not theirs, then there's going to be this punishment for them. The Prophet also made that statement and he left it there. Meaning that the person who was so eloquent in their speech, sometimes they can influence the situation and take things towards their way. Now, I'm saying this to you, why? My brothers and my sisters that are listening, one of the key things about education is I have to go through the Quran. I have to learn. If you don't know, then you ask. If you're in this position, you don't know, you ask. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said in the hadith of Abu Dawud, "Innama shifa'ul 'ayyi as-su'al." If you're unable to express something, you don't know something, then the cure to that is to ask. If you don't know something, then you need to ask. That's the least you can do. Ask a question. Your job is to ask the question. And people's job is to give you the right answer. So what I'm saying is we need to all educate ourselves. And one other thing I'm going to say to you is this. We've got about 6-7 minutes left till Salah. One of the other angles that I wanted to cover in this piece is that when Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he presented the manual to us. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam did something brilliant, which most of us miss out on. And we miss out on specifically with our ta'aleem and our education. We miss out specifically on this point, we miss out. What is that? When Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he taught salah, he taught how to do the salah, he taught the demonstration of salah, he taught the words of salah, and he taught the devotion of salah all in one package. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam never differentiated between one and the other. He didn't teach the sahaba, okay, just learn how to raise your hands, learn how to do ruku, that's it, separately teach them, and another time learn the words of something, and then some other time teach them how to have the devotion in their salah. No, the Prophet ﷺ gave them as an entire package. It was all in one. When they learned from the Prophet ﷺ, they learned everything together. They learned the devotion as well together. There was no such thing as getting your salah done, you just get your salah done and there's no devotion. No, the Prophet ﷺ, he saw one day a man came into his masjid, he prayed. And that man, he prayed, as he was walking out, he said salam to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave the answer of the salam, and he said to him, he said, salli fa innaka lam tusalli. He said, go and pray again, you haven't prayed. So the man went over again, he prayed, as he prayed, which was in a quick form. And then as he walked past the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he gave him salam. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, salli fa innaka lam tusalli, go and pray again, you haven't prayed. And the third time the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam got up, and then he demonstrated for him how to pray. Because that person didn't have the devotion, or he didn't have the steadiness in salah that you need that the Prophet ﷺ taught. Because when the Prophet ﷺ taught, he didn't teach anyone how to pray fast. He didn't teach anyone how to pray fast. It was just one form of prayer. When any of the rulings of Islam came, the Prophet ﷺ gave them as a package. For example, when it came to our transactions and our dealings, let's say, for example, the rules of a halal business, the rules of something that is haram in business. The Prophet ﷺ spoke about it, but what did he do? He went to the marketplace after Asr. After many Asr salah, he used to go to the marketplaces. He used to watch the Muslim sellers at the marketplaces. He used to look at their goods. He used to see what kind of goods they've got. He used to see if anyone's cheating. He used to see if anyone is breaking the rules. And then he would come back to the masjid and he would make another statement to try and give information about how to do halal business. So for example, one of these times what happened is, one man, he realized that in Medina Munawwara from far away, they used to come with a whole load of goods from like Syria. And when they used to come to Medina and they used to sell it to all the market, you know, they used to sell it wholesale. So what one guy did, he became clever. He went to the north of Medina, to the highway, he stood there, he waited for the next caravan of goods to come down. As soon as that caravan of goods came down, he stopped them. He said, do me a favor, I'm going to buy your entire stock wholesale. Paid one price and got the whole thing wholesale. Came back to Medina, put all the goods in his house and he waited till that product ran out. When it ran out, then he bought his product out and now he had cornered the market. He put the price up really high and now he was selling it at a very high price. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then forbade that. He said, this is haram. Why? Because Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was watching what was happening, giving the instructions, watching it and telling them how things should be done. He himself was a businessman, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. He had done business before, he knew what it was. And he gave a perfect demonstration. He was watching how to regulate the business in Medina. Now, this is the thing that we need, which is what? In every aspect of life, when we're learning about Islam and taking the education inside, it's not just about the rules. It's about how we're applying the rules. How we get our balance right. Do I know all the information first? Iqra. Let me learn first. What does it say? What does it say in this thing that I'm going to do? What does it say? The next thing is, am I getting it right? And have I got all the elements right? Because even in a halal business, there are ethical things that you can do which is much better. There are ethical things. Like for example, I'm going to give you one example right now. You know, most of our meat shops that we have out there, mashallah, alhamdulillah, some of us consume meat like no other business, yeah? We love our meat, yeah? Mashallah. But one of the things that we don't do and we haven't done as a Muslim community is to look at the quality of the meat that is coming to our shops. It's all halal, look. These are halal. It might, the zaba has been done. What about the quality of the meat? How the animal has been fed? How the animal has been kept throughout its life? Whether it actually ate organic or not? Was it roaming freely or not? Are you guys with me, yes or no? You get me? So look, there's a whole section of that in the Sharia. Getting all those elements right is the way forward of learning our religion in the best way. Now what I'm trying to say to you is this. My young brothers, my young sisters, this has been a general thing for all of us. If we are going to learn Islam, then first try and learn Islam properly. Second thing is, if you're going to learn it, go to the best teachers you can find, to the people who are not judgmental, who have a good understanding of the religion, go learn it from it. Next thing is, I've got to get my balance right. I might have learned how to, you know, say the right thing at the right time. But whether I say the right thing at the right time is another thing. Let me give you an example. And I know Adhan is going to be in about a minute. Let me give you the example. Can everybody say the word sabr?
Sabr.
Can everyone say the word sabr?
Sabr.
Sabr means what?
Patience.
See? For you to say the word sabr took you 1 second. Sabr. But for you to learn sabr, and for me to learn sabr, it takes a lifetime. You guys understand? Sahaba learned sabr from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But the Sahaba had to then go in their lives, they had problems, then they came to the Prophet ﷺ in the midst of the problems, and then they were told how to apply that sabr. Have you got that? Have you got that, yes or no? Yes, you understood that? I know most of you are thinking, subhanAllah, I think it's time right now, it's Adhan time, so we're going to end it here, inshallah. Jazakumullah khair. Wa akhiru da'wana.